Well, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us here at the intersection of faith and culture as we talk quite often about the ways that we can apply what we say we believe, our faith in Christ, to the various areas of our lives. I call them lifestyle topics. And of course, one of those big topic areas is that of relationships. And joining us on a periodic basis, I guess I should say a regular basis, is John Rosemond, a noted author and columnist. And John has made it clear to me I am not to refer to him as a parenting expert, but John, just between my audience and I like to refer to you as that, because I know that my wife and I have gained a great amount of wisdom and principles that we can apply in our parenting, and you've been a great help to parents across the nation. You are one of the hardest working speakers, as I understand it. What is it, around maybe 200 dates that you do a year?
Yeah, and I, with my tongue in my cheek, you know, James Brown used to call himself the hardest working man in show business. I call myself the hardest working man in the parenting business.
there we go. Yeah. Well, it's very interesting, because I know that you not only speak to parents, but you also have conversations with parents and those that are involved in various aspects of our society. And today I wanted to move into a topic area that I promised last month that we would actually move into, and I think it's a great area, and that is building a sense of responsibility and a strong work ethic. And I believe that that's very consistent with scriptural principles, is having that sense of responsibility and a strong work ethic. And there is something that you recommend from an early age that children get involved in, not necessarily infants or toddlers cleaning up the playpen, but you do talk about the implementation of chores around the house. Although, you know, having that toddler maybe clean up the pack and play might not be such a bad idea anyway. but talk about how chores help to build that sense of responsibility in the hearts of kids.
Bob, first of all, chores put children into responsible contributing positions in their families. And this is so important, because really, the family is, at one level, and very important level, a workshop for citizenship. And by being placed as early as possible into a responsible contributing position in one's family, one is therefore enabled to begin practicing one of the hallmarks of good citizenship, which was most eloquently stated by President John F. Kennedy: ask not what this country, and substitute the word family, can do for you. Ask what you can do for this family. And unfortunately, Bob, today's kids are not—they're not being, generally speaking, put into responsible positions in their families through the good intentions of their parents, who are more consumed with seeing to it that their children get to appointed play dates and appointed after-school activities, and the amount of time that is spent every evening on homework and so on and so forth, preparing for tests, that the what I call the chore ethic in the American family has fallen by the wayside. I'm probably I am a member of the last generation of American children who understood from a very early age that we were not, and we understood this intuitively, it was not something that we could give words to until we were much older, that we were not just consuming things within our family, we were making contribution, and that the contribution was important. I hate to be so wordy, but I'll give you an example of... When I was 3 years old, my mother taught me to wash floors. And there is a photograph in the photographic journal that my mother kept of the first several years of my life to prove this. There I am with a bucket in front of me, and I'm obviously a very small child, and I'm washing the kitchen floor. And if you take the photograph out of the four corners that my mother mounted it in, and you look at the date on the back, I'm 3 years, 8 months of age. And I asked my mother, I said, Mom, did you set this up? Was it this sort of something, you know, that you just arranged? And she told me no, that she had taught me to wash floors when I was about 3.5 years old. And I said, well, did I do an adequate job? And she said, well, yes, you did an adequate job. There were things that I had to, you know, once you wash the floor, there were little places that I had to go back over, but that I had done a very adequate job. It's interesting, Bob, that today, one of the things I say to today's parents is that out of one side of their mouths, they tell people that their children are gifted, but then out of the other side of their mouths, unwittingly, they underestimate their children's abilities. And this is one area where they do that. I was at a presentation a couple of years ago, and a woman came up to me and she said, John, I know that you believe that children beginning shortly after their third birthday should be given chores around the home. My daughter's 3.5. What can I reasonably expect of her? And I said, well, your daughter's old enough to learn to wash floors. And she looked at me with this shocked expression, Bob, and she said, well, I don't think you heard me correctly. She's only 3.5. And I said, no, ma'am, I did hear you correctly, and I'm firmly convinced that your daughter is capable of learning to wash floors. And there was this incredulous look on her face, and she said, well, John, I really think she's a little too young for that, don't you? Well, no, she's not too young for that. All the mother has to do in that situation is move the bucket of sudsy water around the floor, and the child is perfectly capable of learning the simple motions of drawing a sponge back and forth across a floor and wringing it out on occasion and so on and so forth. But this is what I mean by that today's parents, they say their children are gifted, but then on the other hand, they underestimate their abilities to their children's detriment. Because in my estimation, it is far more important that a child be placed in a position of good citizenship in his family as early as possible than it is that the child make A's on spelling tests every Friday.
When we talk about the chores and the accountability thereof, for instance, a young child, let's say 3.5 years old, getting started with chores, you start with one chore. At what point do you work a child up to a regiment of chores?
Well, I might start with one chore, and when the child had mastered that chore, move him up to another one and make it clear to the child that you're graduating him to another chore, more chores, harder chores, because you have learned that that he can do such a good job. By the time our children were 6 and 10 years old, Bob, just to give you an example, they were doing 90% of the housework. The only things that they were not doing at the ages of 6 and 10 were the obvious job of mowing the grass, which you don't want either a 6 or a 10-year-old to do because of the dangers involved.
Right.
They were not washing their own clothes or ironing their own clothes at 6 and 10. And to tell you the truth, if I had this to do over again, I might have them at least washing their own clothes at the age of 6 or shortly thereafter. And they weren't cooking. And I might have them start cooking around the age of 8 or 9 as well. But by the time they were 13 years old, they were mowing the grass, washing their own clothes, ironing their own clothes, and each child was responsible for cooking an entire evening meal for the family one evening a week. And and the rule was, Bob, that you cannot open a can and simply dump the contents of the can in a pot and heat it up, that you have to actually cook. And so by the time our children graduated from high school, even though they no longer offer traditional home economics in most high schools anymore, our children had already passed a traditional home economics curriculum.
And I know I've been asked the question as far as the child being able to keep up with the chores. Do you recommend some sort of checklist or a chart or something like that?
Well, I think that just as adults have job descriptions that are printed and that can be referred to, and also that increase accountability or enhance accountability, that children ought to have printed job descriptions as well. So with our kids, we had a legal-sized sheet of paper that was turned sideways and posted on the refrigerator, and it was a 7-day calendar that just said Eric's chores, Amy's chores, and then across the top the days of the week. And the chores were organized into blue chores that had to be done first thing in the morning that were both mostly in their own area of the house, and then red chores that had to be done immediately after school or immediately after lunch on non-school days. And these were the major household chores. They were washing floors, vacuuming floors, cleaning bathrooms, and the like. And then green chores that had to be done immediately after dinner, which primarily involved just the kitchen cleanup and the dining area cleanup. And, keeping it, I think, just as is the case with an adult, the more clear the job description, the more explicit the job description, the more likely it is that the person will perform consistently with the job description.
Today we are continuing to discuss some parenting helps with John Rosemond, who is a columnist in a number of different newspapers across America. He is found in Montgomery Parents on a monthly basis, which is the monthly magazine. And you can also read some of John's columns on his website, rosemond.com. Also from a scriptural perspective, the Parenting by the Book website, parentingbythebook.com. John is the author of a number of resources, including John Rosemond's new 6-point plan for raising happy, healthy children. And we've been talking about teaching kids responsibility, and we've been zeroing in on the notion of chores. And John, you were talking about the chart set up or the job description for each of your kids growing up. Let's discuss something that can be really a cause of angst for many parents, and that is the area of keeping one's room clean. How can you enforce that to be done timely and responsibly?
Well, first of all, to when you're assigning chores to children, these chores need to be they need to occur on a routine basis. And secondly, the most strategic time for a child to perform a chore is just before he wants to do something else. So, for example, a major room cleaning should occur perhaps on a Saturday morning. And you simply say to the child, when you've cleaned your room, and I call this grandma's rule, when you do what you're expected to do, you get to do what you want to do. When you have cleaned your room, you get to go outside and play with your friends. That sort of juxtaposition or arrangement, if you will, I think is the optimal way to ensure that the chores will be done on a appropriately and according to schedule.
So how do you set up the consequences? I think you've touched on this already, but if a chore is not performed or a chore is not performed satisfactorily, how do you set up the consequences for that not being done?
Well, it all depends, Bob. I'm not a person who follows any formulas when it comes to the delivery of consequences. And by the way, I used to believe in formulas like timeout and what I call consequence delivery systems of that sort. My response to a child who has not performed a chore properly or on time might be to simply bring the child back into the area. It might be to do the chore myself. And bring the child back into the area and just say to the child, I did this, and I want you to look at the difference between what you did and what I have done. And the next time that I have to do it, there will be a consequence. Please don't push things in that direction. And turn around and walk away. Oftentimes, just that simple authoritative message is going to be more than sufficient to ensure that the child is going to improve his performance from that point on. Or I might, to deliver a stronger message, just let the situation ride, for 2 or 3 days. And when the child comes and says, you know, he's been invited to go to the movies with a friend, just say, well, I think this is a shame that you're not going to be allowed to go to the movies with your friend this afternoon because you neglected to make your bed twice this week, and I made your bed for you as a consequence of that. And I hope you learn from this that your chores are, in fact, a priority in this family and that we expect you to do them because you are regarded as a responsible member of this family. Oftentimes, just one or two experiences with that, Bob, is enough to, or a consequence of that sort is enough to ensure that the child isn't going to relax his own performance standards again.
Well, and something we talked about last month, I think it bears repeating, something that you advocate is instead of rewarding for behavior that is expected, you basically advocate taking away privileges, if you will, like you just outlined for us, if an expectation is not met.
Exactly. And people argue this, Bob, that we are we go to work and we are paid for doing work. Why shouldn't we pay our children for doing chores around the house? And I point out that these are not equivalent situations, that we are basically exchanging with our employers labor for compensation that will establish a certain standard of living and that will, over time, enable us to elevate our standard of living. With our children, their standard of living is already established and by us. If they don't do their chores, they are still going to get fed. We are still going to air condition or heat their rooms. They are still going to be provided good medical care, educational opportunities, and the like. These are not equivalent situations. And so, therefore, I don't believe in paying for chores. In effect, you're already paying for these chores. These chores are the child's obligation to you as a consequence of the fact that you are ensuring a certain standard of living in the child's life. Secondly, what I point out to parents, and this has been confirmed time and time again, is that when you pay for chores, you create the illusion in the mind of a child that if he doesn't need the money or want the money for whatever reason that week, that he doesn't have to do the chore, that the chore is optional unless he wants the cash.
Hmm. Now, there may occur within the framework of a home the opportunity for a child to earn extra money. For instance, I know in our house we have extra chores that are laid out, and if a child wishes to perform that chore, then perhaps he or she could be rewarded in the form of, let's say, Disney dollars to be spent at Disney World or something like that.
Sure, I have no problem with that at all. The over and above the call of duty kind of thing. So, you know, when our kids were younger, if either one of them would come to me and say, Dad, I need some extra money, is there anything extra I can do around the house? We'd generally find something to make that happen.
Well, John Roseman has been joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio. And again, John, kind of lay out for our listeners the websites where people can find out more information about you and some of your writings.
Roseman.com, R-O-S-E-M-O-N-D.com, is my general website, and people who access that website can read my weekly newspaper column. They can read the question and answer of the week that comes off of the members' side of my website. You can also sign up to become a member and access every newspaper column I've written since 1985, searchable by word or phrase. And you can submit questions to me. I don't guarantee that every question submitted is going to be answered, but you can submit questions to me for my consideration. And I generally try to answer as many as I possibly can. You can also access the Q&A library that's on the member side. Then my ministry website is at parentingbythebook.com, which is also the title of my next book coming out in September, being published by Howard Books. And that website contains a series, a number of parenting essays that are built off of scriptural passages. And most of those essays are going to be contained in one way, shape, or form in the upcoming book. And then there is a website that has recently been created to draw attention to my latest book. And that website is sixpointplan.com. And again, that simply is to draw attention to the fact that my latest book, The New Six-Point Plan for Raising Happy, Healthy Children, is now out and available through your favorite web bookseller or local bookseller.
Outstanding. John Roseman, thanks for spending some time with us today here on Faith Radio.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you.